Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
Hello everyone, this is Brad Larson, host of the Property Management Mastermind Podcast. To see a complete list of the offers and discounts we have worked to provide, visit our website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. In there you will find additional discounts from Tenant Turner, Citizen Home Solutions, PMW Websites, and several others. Also be sure to check out our Seminar and Conferences tab, where we highlight different conferences going around the country, business and property management related. Lastly, be sure to seek out the Facebook group we have started and become a member. In that group, the PM community at large, to include vendors, are welcome to join.
Hey everyone, this is Allison DeSaro with Seacoast Commerce Bank. You may have heard about us, or you may have even heard my podcast episode with Brad Larson, where we discuss the benefits of banking with property management bank like Seacoast Commerce Bank. We specialize in providing the ideal banking partnership for not only your business, but specifically your trust accounts. In addition, we offer a significant analysis program, which allows us to not only offset your bank fees, but then also offset property management related invoices. You can visit us at our website, or you can call me directly at 619-988-6708.
This is Brad Larson, and I endorse this message.
In today's episode, I bring a gentleman to talk a lot about sales in and around the property management portfolio system, talking about sales with tenants, owners, investors, and this is a sales expert, and Jay is his name. We'll introduce him here in the first part of the show, but I wanted to recap the show and tell you that it's a great episode as far as getting you some information about selling in and around the portfolio with a lot of numbers thrown in there with the tactics involved of what you charge, the commissions, et cetera. So I think it's a great listen. Let's hear it. And welcome everybody to another edition of the Property Management Mastermind Show. I'm your host, Brad Larson. In today's episode, I have Mr. Jay Barabee. I hope I said that correct. Did I announce that correctly, Jay?
Dude, you did. Most people don't.
Bam. First try. No, I'm just kidding. We announced that earlier in the meeting. Just want to introduce you real quick to get you going on this. I'm very excited to have you on the show. We're going to talk a lot about sales, kind of a neglected topic inside the property management realm. Everybody understands sales. They do sales. They outsource sales. They get it, but we are going to dive deep into it at this podcast. So Jay, please kick us off and introduce who you are.
Sure, man. Yeah, thanks so much. And thanks for the correct pronunciation. That's always nice. But honestly, you know, people say Barabee all the time. I'm just used to it. And they say, did I get that right? I'm like, look, I don't care. Just call me. So, my name is Jay Barabee, and I've been selling real estate for 14 years, owned a property management company, helped over 3,000 landlords, sold over 1,400 homes. I'm based down in Florida. And so I've done that over the past 14 years and then also built up a real estate coaching business as well. And my specialty, my expertise is sales. Process and sales. And the sales process. And I love doing it. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Excellent. So a couple of things that we want to talk about today are, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that's going on in the sales realm, but we want to kind of break it down and talk specifically how it kind of works on all sides of it. Because if we just look at kind of where sales can come from, they can come from your current owners, your current tenants, your referrals, your investors that come in out of nowhere wanting to buy homes. And of course, you have the life cycle of managing a home to where you potentially could sell it to an investor. That's a buyer's transaction. Then you manage it. That's a property management function. And then you turn around and sell it at the end. That's a listing agent function. So we have all kinds of things there, not even to mention the fact that you can still go poach from your tenants and get them to buy homes. So there's lots of opportunities for sales. So having said all that, one of the things that we see on talking to other property management companies is, do they even have a sales division? You've probably talked to some other property managers that out there that don't do sales. They don't want to intimidate the rest of the market. They want to be known as a property management only type of a service. And so I don't know if that's necessarily the best route. So let's kind of kick that around a little bit. Have you run any of that to where you're seeing property management company owners just say, hey, Jay, I just refer all the sales to that agent down the street and I get a 50-50 split and everything's fine. You ever see that?
Yeah, actually, that's that's most common, right? And I'm sure that, you know, you run into that as well. But most property management entrepreneurs, the way that I look at it is there's different ways to cut it. So you can either do it in-house, you can do it yourself, you can have, you can be a referral partner with someone else, but at the end of the day, it's all about lost revenue. So you have to know your numbers. But yeah, there's a big piece missing in the industry to where most property managers aren't strong at sales. And then most salespeople aren't strong in property management. So there's two issues that the property manager typically runs into. The first one is they're not selling properties. So they do the outsource and the referral. But then the second issue with sales is they're not typically strong in the sales process to sell the property management services. So there's a big absence of sales training. But when it comes to the real estate sales and incorporating that into their business, a lot of that has to do with system and process as well.
Totally agree. And now some of my background, as we discussed, I grew up doing sales as far as when I got into the business in 2003. I haven't sold a home in a few years, but I did actively sell homes for 10 plus years. You know, I've been one of the top 50 San Antonio Platinum top 50 agents. And so, yeah, I mean, I got up there into a high level of sales and was getting that churn going. So a couple things, when I first started, and you probably remember some of these dudes, Mike Ferry, Tom Hopkins, some of those sales trainers, and where I think there's a gap right now is in and around the property management space, there is a gap of who can actually train people on doing and conducting sales around a property management portfolio, because it's a little different. But you have buyers coming in, you have tenants leaving, you have sellers bringing you investment properties, you have representation where you need to go represent investors. There's all kinds of cash flow analysis stuff that goes into it that NARPM teaches. So it's a fairly deep subject. And so a couple of things I want to dive into to go real, real long on is one of the challenges is when you get somebody under property management is how do you keep them from leaving? Okay, so let's just skip into that. Let's not worry about where that home came from, because assuming you're getting it from a referral, right? Assuming you're getting it from your own marketing, your own Google stuff, you know, your own website, assuming it just comes in off the street, hey, I bought a home, hey, I've been living in a home, whatever. I want to have you manage it. Okay, great. Fast forward a year to 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
Now they're looking to potentially, in their mind, think about selling. So how do we keep those owners from straying? How do we keep those owners from looking at another realtor?
Awesome question, man. Okay, so here's the deal. So we're talking about what I call the organic lead. So the organic lead is somebody that is yours. It's not referred by another realtor, okay? Because if it is, you have to have your system in place, of course, to refer that back to them. So that's a whole nother thing. But in the organic, in order to have the highest, and whether this is in the sales process or just working with clients in general, the organic clients in your business, it's all about maximizing your revenue, right? I mean, that's what property managers look at all the time. They look at their numbers. So not just in maximizing it in the sale process and the numbers, but looking at it in five different ways, which is the five factors in real estate, okay? So you look at your lead gen, right? So how are you doing your lead gen? What level? Scale it on a level from 1 to 5. So say you're doing strong in your lead gen, you're at a 4. Okay, great. The next part of that process is lead follow-up. So in your lead follow-up, if you have a ton of leads coming in, but you don't have strong systems, your lead follow-up might suffer. So that might be at like a 3. Then you have lead conversion. Lead conversion is getting the appointment and getting it signed. So how good are you at your conversion, which has a lot to do with the sales process and everything that we're talking about. I mean, it's not just the five key factors in real estate. I mean, it's the same thing in property management, okay? It just works a little different. But then after that is you have your delivery and service, which in property management is a much longer cycle. Because like you said, 5, 10, 20 years, you know what I'm saying? Like that's a long service and delivery. So the great property managers out there, and you and I both know who they are, they have a ton of reviews. Their clients love them. The tenants love them, which, you know what, I found over the years is not an easy task to have tenants love you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the big difference, I'm going to interrupt you and then get to point five. The big difference A lot of real estate agents want to be everybody's friend because their life cycle of when they deal with that customer is what? 30 days, 60 days, 6 months. I mean, they're dealing with them on a listing agreement. They're dealing with them as a buyer's agent. They're all happy, happy, happy. There's never any conflict, hardly ever, in a real estate transaction, 90% of the time. You know, of course, you're getting one-offs, but then you look at the property manager life cycle, it could go on for years, and there's going to be built-up resentment no matter what. 6 months, a year, 6 years later, they're going to remember that you didn't call them back within 5 minutes at a, you know, 6 years ago. I mean, that's how people are. It's a longer time to screw up. Now, give me the
absolutely point. Because if you have them for 14 years, and I've been there. I mean, I still own my property management company, and we're in growth mode right now. But if you have, and we just had this happen, 14 years we had this client screwed up once, boom, gone, and it was right before he went to put it on the market for sale, and we couldn't recover from it because it happens, right? Besides that, he was happy.
He never gave you the opportunity to even compete for the business and listing that home, did he?
No, because he was pissed off about something. He wouldn't even let us recover.
He just went to some other agent and then listed his home and sold it.
Yes. And that's why this entire process is so important. And the lead gen, lead follow-up, the conversion, the service and delivery. And I'll get to that last one. But let me touch on what you just said, man. The short life cycle with real estate agents and their clients, okay? We're talking about the difference between sales and rapport. So they want to build that rapport. They want to be friends. They want to build rapport, just like you said. But they're not, because they're not taught this, and I mean, property managers aren't either. Most people aren't. But proper sales techniques and business techniques. And sales is very different than rapport. But the sales cycle is this whole thing that we're talking about as well. Because every part of those five key factors is a sales part of the sales cycle. So the last one let me talk about is, of course, repeat and referral business. And repeat and referral business for property managers, real estate agents, you know what that means. It's about having systems in place that are going to bring you more business in the future, not only keep your people happy and ask for a business in a way that doesn't sound like it's asking for business, but by adding value and being the trusted advisor. But not only by doing that, but also by having systems in place that will generate the referrals from those people, but keeping top of mind. And
let's talk about that, because what you got to do as property managers is to let your owners know that you sell homes and or your best friend down the street is going to sell homes. I mean, it's got to be, you got to let them know that you've heard the term, don't be a secret agent, right? You've heard that term before. So here's another technique. You bombard them with letters, you bombard them with postcards, you know, once a quarter, once a year, twice a year, whatever you decide, but you got to let them know. Do videos, do stuff, just let them know, hey, we sell homes. I would also recommend you put it in your management agreement that it automatically turns into a listing agreement as soon as they snap their fingers. As soon as they say, Jay, I want you to list my home for several hundred million, right? You put it on the sales market, and you shouldn't have to go scramble and get a new agreement. It should already be in your property management agreement. And another thing, here's a good debate point. This might even be a throwdown fight here. Do you do a free annual CMA, right? I see all kinds of people on the chat board saying you should do a free comparative market analysis for sales every year for your owners. And I've heard
I'm going to do you better than that, man. Okay. In the whole sales cycle, in that whole life cycle, you should have a certain amount of touches going to the owner. Okay. Touches, sequences, whatever you want to call it, but tenants and owners, the two different ones, okay? So people are so overwhelmed with information, okay? Big time, Facebook ads, different ads, right? You know, shorter attention spans. So you have to do more than you ever could to have that, more than you ever had to be in front of them. So what I'm talking about is having specific sequences and plans in place, not just with postcards and emails and stuff like that. But I'm talking about also with calls. So whether it's your BDM that's making the calls, or whether it's the owner, or just depending on who you have, they need to have a script or an outline. But a script isn't just a script like everybody else thinks about it. It's an outline to get you from point A to point Z to get the end result with the client feeling like it was their idea. And that's the main thing about it. But what I do is I put a system in place to where we have the same postcard that goes out quarterly, And basically it's just a stock postcard, but it's, but it asks for referrals in there and it, you know, it's a reminder, that kind of thing. We have that automated. We have a monthly email newsletter that goes out that is, a video newsletter. So it's 2 minutes and we just give a piece of value in there and that goes out because we want them to have that in their inbox. And that's also asking for business in so many words. Okay. But adding value, staying top of mind. And then also a quarterly phone call. So you don't need to even do a CMA, man, because you're on the phone with them 4 times a year and you have a script and that script comes to sound something like, hey, John, how's it going? Well, it's going great. John, hey, I'm just giving you a call because shit, man, it's that time of year. And I'm just wondering, how's everything going? How's our service? Okay. Which is always a really great thing because when you're talking about a past client in real estate, then you don't have that ongoing process and that communication. So you don't have an instant value add to give them right off the bat. But you have a gimme in property management. Hey, how's everything going, man? You're happy? I'm happy. You're happy. Hey, let me ask you a question. So you, any questions about what's going on in the market? Because, man, shit's crazy, you know? So what are your plans? What do you plan on doing? I know you know a lot of people and I love you. So I know I'm going to love whoever the hell you know that might want to buy or sell real estate. You're doing value add. You're complimenting, making them feel right. Okay, but also asking for the business in so many words. See what I'm saying?
I do. A couple questions. What do you use for a CRM platform on the sales side?
We switched to RealVolve.
Say that again, RealVolve.
Yeah, RealVolve. We found that we were using Top Producer before, but it's a dinosaur, man. Like they're not even updating it anymore. They've come out. I found out that they're coming out with a different software. I don't know who owns it. Realtor.com owns it. Well, I don't know, but whatever. But so we moved over to RealVolve. RealVolve has really great automation and workflow. Probably similar. I've never logged into Lead Simple, and I know Jordan will probably punch me in the face if he's listening to this. But it's probably similar to Lead Simple, but on steroids. Mm-hmm. And it's got so much capability.
Yeah, you can sort of use Lead Simple as that for a sales platform because obviously we don't want millions of platforms we've got to touch. Here's the strange dichotomy, and I don't have an answer for this one, is what do you do when you have a property management business owner who's also potentially the listing lead agent and that person's making the calls? I mean, there's some weirdness there. Hey, Mr. Owner, I've been managing home for 5 years. How's it going? And they're like, yeah, you sons of, you did blah, blah, blah. It turns into like a bitch session. So that's a strange one because a lot of us as business owners would never dream of getting on the phone with these owners. So you may end up having to designate some sort of lead agent that's going to make these touch calls. So
whoever it is needs to have sales skills. And Brad, let's be honest, most property management company owners are stronger at the systems and processes than the sales part of it. So is it better for them to call? I don't know. But whoever it is needs to have sales skills and they need to have a system in place. It's like you go to McDonald's, you're getting 3 pickles, man. If you get 4 pickles, somebody made a mistake. So it needs to be systemized, but you also need to have the person there that understands how to sell and understands how to take a conversation and redirect something and has sales skills or be taught sales skills, because it's not something that we're born with. It's something that can be taught. Different personality types, it's easier to teach. But analyticals, for example, which are really good at systems and processes, and I feel like most property management companies, not most, but a lot of property management company owners are analyticals, typically have a much more difficult time with sales. But I've seen it happen over and over again with different coaching organizations that I've been in that teach that and can teach those people to do it. But with that said, it's all about what you say. So if I call the owner and the owner says, oh man, yeah, you guys suck. We had this happen and this happen. Okay. It's about how I handle it. This is me. What? Are you kidding me, John? No, that's completely unacceptable. Really? Look, I don't have the background info right now. Let me get to the bottom of it. And we will, I promise you, we will get back to you. And depending on how many problems you have in a property management company, if you have, say, 2% of your calls being that, well, guess what? You can call that person back yourself to respond. But if you have 10 or 20% of your calls being that, then you probably shouldn't be handling calling them back. It should be somebody else that's going to do the service part of it. But you recover. And then after you recover, Brad, that is the biggest opportunity to get referrals, because it's like you own it. You're like, man, that sucks. That's on me. I am going to fix that. And that is unacceptable. I want you to know that that is not going to happen again. But that is unacceptable. I'm going to fix that. You get back to them and you're like, yeah, I hear you. I know how you felt. You know, that's why I did that. Hey, who do you know? That kind of thing.
Great service. I really like that. So some of the debates I've also seen is in your management agreement, typically your property management agreement and or listing agreements, because you have that captive person under your roles, under management, do you offer a reduced commission inside the property management agreement, or you just kind of leave it at a common customary number? I don't want to speak numbers, so don't throw out percentages or anything like that.
I'm glad you reminded me.
Yeah, because where we're going here is, you know, do you offer them a reduced, whatever that is for your market, reduced commission up front to try and keep their business, you know, or do you just do what you did and offer the common and customary regular commission, or don't even put it in the PMA? But if you're doing the high touch stuff, you potentially can earn a common and customary regular commission, whatever that is for your market, versus a reduced commission. So there's a very healthy mix there. And I don't have the answers, but it's always going to be a debate, because you see it all kinds of times where I list with a reduced commission on my PMAs, and then the others say, well, I never reduce commissions because I'm so-and-so. And so it brings into that that debate on what you want to do to keep that business, because as you're going under management, you know, you're years down the road and people all of a sudden come up and say, well, we want to sell, let's put it on the market. What are you charging me? Oh, well, good question, right? It's that commission question. Go.
All right. Here's the dude. I mean, you have all good points. I wrote down like 7 things I got to talk about. So, okay. Reduced commission. Is it really about the money or is it about the value?
You got me. You got me on that. This is like a leading question you already know the answer to, right?
Well, it's about the value. It's not about the money, because if I'm charging, and I will talk percentages, because I can say if I'm charging 20% or 10% for the purchase or service of any product, right? And I'm not talking about real estate or anything, but any product, does it matter if I charge 10% or 20% if you end up making more money at the end of the day? So it's all about how you sell that service. So if I tell somebody, if I'm going to sell someone's widget, and I say, I'm going to charge you $500 to sell your widget, or I'm going to charge you $250 to sell your widget. If they make more money and they're happier and they had a better experience and I charge them $500 for the widget, it doesn't matter how much they're paying me. It matters how much they're going to net at the end of the day. And that's all about, so if I was able to say percentages in the real estate world, it'd be a lot easier to explain that. But that's how you handle that objection. Because here's the deal, man. There's only so many objections that sellers have, that any of the consumers have. And the reason why they have those objections is because they're not formally educated in real estate, which you and I both know most real estate agents aren't either. You know, 60 or 80 hours of education to sell someone's most valuable asset. Know what I'm saying? Got the double barrel right here, brother. So it's all about how you sell that. And, you know, so when someone says, how much are you going to charge me? If it's a property management person or a salesperson, I'll say, hey, great question. And you know what? I get asked that all the time. Let me ask you a question. Okay. So see what I did? As I repeated, I affirmed, and I'm redirecting. Do you see what I'm doing there? Repeat, affirm, redirect. And I redirect it into another open-ended question, because they don't care. They think that's the right question to ask, but it's not. It's not the right question to ask. What is important is it's important for the salesperson, property manager, whoever it is, to ask them the right open-ended questions to find out what's important to them. And once I know what's important to them, then I know what to focus on as the salesperson, because it's not about what I charge. Somebody can tell me, like, for me, I like to pay. You know, I like to pay for things if things are going to be easier and better for me. So thinking that that's going to be the objection for somebody when their needs and wants and desires are different is a whole nother story, you know? So understanding your customer is important, and that's that whole part. Let me get into the next part, okay? Listing paperwork in the property management agreement, having the agreement to list the property in there automatically, okay? I say, and I firmly believe, no, don't do it. Because why would you tie somebody into something and make them feel obligated to do something? Because it's going to piss some people off, okay? And the people it's going to piss off, you've already pissed them off, okay? And you're likely not going to get them back. But you have a greater opportunity to earn them as a client if you set the right expectations up front, if you communicate and have a systemized approach to do it that's smart. Most agents, most property managers, most companies don't have that. And that's why they go to the other direction.
Let's talk you and I, because this is a mastermind, right? So we are operators in the space. So yeah. What do you guys do at your company? Let me start what I do and then you can go from there. So we include a portion of our management agreement that offers some sort of a reduced commission, and we can list their home at the snap of a finger because it's already there. So that's in our PMA upfront. And, you know, we do get sellers that come to us and they don't really complain about that, but we don't know what we're missing because they may never come to you, right? That's the difficult part, Jay, is they're never going to come to you and say, I don't like you, I'm going to somebody else. They're just like, I hired somebody else, and they just shrug you off. So there's nothing there that will almost give you feedback on that. But what is your technique for you? What you guys use in your company?
Well, that's a great question. And that's one of the things about, I'll answer that backwards. So the communication piece is what I feel is missing. And I don't know, you know, how you guys operate, but there could be an opportunity to increase communication where you guys are at or with any companies. But if you set the right expectations and have the right communication, then they're not going to go in another direction unless they're really pissed off. But you should know and take the temperature on them if you have the right systems in place. You're never going to prevent it 100% either way. Right. But if you have the right expectations set and the right communication, then you will prevent most of that without having the clause in there to sell the property when they do that. Because if you're talking to them and communicating with them in other ways, but more importantly, talking to them, and that's why the quarterly calls are so important. And it's not that difficult, because guess what? Two out of four times, right? 50% of the time, they're not going to answer anyway. And you just leave a voicemail. But in that voicemail, they're hearing from you. What are most, and I know this is a little bit of a different direction, but I'm going to cut it short on that. But what do most consumers say? What do most sellers say when they're, and this is specifically for you with a real estate sales background, when their home comes off the market, let's say it expires, what's one of their main gripes? It's...
Yeah, you'd never heard from you. You didn't do enough marketing. And so there's a couple of ways to hear that is you potentially reach out every Monday like we do systematically. We go over the days on the market. We go over the showings, et cetera. And if it comes down to it, you got no showings and no applications and no bites on a sale or a rent, then clearly it's price. And we have to start getting price decreases.
Yeah. But you know, because, you know, because you've handled, you know, to handle that objection up front by having a system in place that handles that objection, which is the communication. You know, we have a problem with communication because I never heard from the person. Now, if you handle it up front in a strong way of yes, on the listing and selling their property, yes. But on the property management side, in that cycle, by calling them systematically, right, and asking them those things and talking to them about sales and having that incorporated in your script, then you are highly, highly likely to have them sell with you. All of our organic stuff, we got a crazy high conversion rate on our organic stuff that's not referred by other agents. And I think it's like 90% or something like that end up selling with us anyway. And we don't have it. We don't have that clause in our paperwork, and we don't offer them a discount either. So we charge our full commission. But what I do, and I won't talk numbers, but what I do is I have a clause in my sale listing agreement that has a reduced commission if I sell it myself. So I don't make them ask for it, but if I personally sell it myself and there's no other agent involved. That's the thing. If there's no other agent involved, which happens about 10% of the time, then they get a reduced commission. Yep. And also, I put in my sale listing agreement one more thing. I put that they can cancel anytime with no fee or penalty, and 24-hour written notice is all I want. 24 hours, cancel anytime, because you know what, man? Just like if you buy any kind of service or widget or anything out there, if you're not happy with it, you should get your money back. If, like last night, my calamari came out cold, and I said, yeah, you know what? We're not interested in calamari anymore. We're full with the other stuff, and it's super cold. Can you just take it back? We're not paying for it. You know, it's all good. That's the way life should be.
Hello, everyone. We wanted to offer you a brief introduction to our newest product on the PropertyManagementMastermind.com site. It's called the Business Development Toolkit. In 2017, RentWorks organically grew by over 360 plus homes. In 2018, we are on pace to grow another 500 homes. All of this has been without any acquisitions by going out to meet the people and earn the business one at a time. This toolkit will provide you all the marketing materials, business development scripts, and follow-up plans in a format you can modify and use. The biggest part of this toolkit is we give you the Lead Simple follow-up plan. Now, using Lead Simple as your contact resource management platform, combined with implementing our follow-up plan, will give you a launching pad to build your business. This was over 2 years in the making, pulling bits and pieces from the best companies in the industry. It comes with a 100% money-back guarantee if you are not completely satisfied with this product. Check out our site at PropertyManagementMastermind.com to learn more about this new business development toolkit.
Heard a radio spot on the drive-in. A realtor going on the radio, it's a local AM channel, and talking about his client satisfaction guarantee. And so I'm thinking and laughing in the back of my head. It's like, yeah, you could fire him anytime, just like any other listing agent.
Yeah.
If you aren't happy with my services, I guarantee you can fire me anytime, which is, you know, comical, but that's what they're spinning on the radio. Let's talk some real dirty down tactics. So sometimes we come up against a referral into a company called USAA. And there are a lot of folks out there listening that compete against the USAA referral system. And so it's a difficult one. I'm going to try to make it a short conversation. Essentially, people that use USAA, which is nearly all military, right? I'm prior military. Yeah. So anywhere you have a military base, you're going to compete against the USAA referral, which means essentially that the sellers that go to USAA, they get a referral to a large company locally near there. And then they get some sort of kickback from USAA. When you sit down and write up the numbers in front of the seller and show them that after the referral, after that agent split, that agent's working for about 20% of whatever you pay them. If you pay them 10 grand, they're going to walk away with 2 grand. And so how good do you think they're going to work for you? And they start to realize, oh, wow, that really does make sense. So really all you have to do is match the USAA referral, either in a reduced commission or whatever you want to do, a credit towards their closing costs, and you'll earn that business. But back to what you talked about earlier, Jay, it's all about communication. If you hear through the grapevine, they're thinking of selling and you understand that they're military and they're probably looking at USAA and somebody told them they should use that service because they get referred to X real estate company and then X real estate company takes that referral and they hand it to the person standing at the water cooler who's never sold a home before, they just walk away with that referral. Versus, why would you not use the property manager that has managed your home for 5-10 years? And why would you not use them to sell your home? We know everything there is about that home. We can work with an outgoing tenant. We can do the make readies. We can do everything you need done and do it well. So I don't understand why people would go that route, but sometimes it will just because they're bought into that referral type system. So another tactic that we have to go through, and this is stuff that, you know, people may not think of, but we made policy a long time ago. Two agents cannot touch the home at the end of that life cycle in renting, because if there's a tenant involved, you cannot have a listing agent touching that tenant, doing showings, and then you have a property management broker handling the home, the security deposit, and the outgoing tenant. So typically what we say is, okay, Mr. Owner, you want to use your cousin, Sally, with big company, that's fine. We have to nicely part ways right now, turn over the security deposit to you and your cousin, Sally, who's a real estate agent, and then she can sell and do the listing atomization and all that good stuff at the end. So essentially, we have to part ways very nicely because, again, two brokers cannot touch the same home at the same time at the end of that life cycle when there's a tenant involved. Beginning, wide open. So if
I love that.
If Sally, the agent, wants to rent or put it up for sale and rent works, my company wants to put it up for rent, it's a race to the finish line. But if there's no tenant involved, no harm, no foul. It's seriously just a race at that point. Now, a lot of folks won't do that, okay? We will. We don't like to, but we know a lot of times that we can rent the home faster than it may sell in this market. Someday that may turn. Different markets, you put it up on the market for sale and it sells in minutes. Others takes, you know, 6 months. So it really kind of depends on your market. Those two techniques are kind of there to kick around in the tactic side.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. So I actually wrote that down. I want to talk to my senior property manager about that.
It's really scary, honestly, to go back and circle around that is when you have a listing agent that is outside of your control with, again, other large brokerage, and they're the cousin of the seller, and they come in and talk to the tenant face-to-face and say, yeah, don't worry, just vacate whenever you want. We'll give you all your deposit back. You don't have to clean or anything. We're just going to show as much as we need to. As long as you're cool with that, we're just going to show whenever. And the tenant's thinking, great. So they vacate, they leave the home a dump, and you charge them full boat to clean it. And now guess what? They're mad, they're lawyering up, they're suing the property manager, and meantime, the seller's gone. They sold their home with Sally the cousin, realtor, and they're gone and gone. So that's one of the pitfalls we watch out for. I've just wrote a bunch of notes down here, but that's the other one. So switching gears, I know I talked a lot there, Jay. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, a couple quick things is, sure. And I always say a couple quick things, but they're never quick. So sometimes you got to tell me to shut up. Not the suing the property manager right before that. I lost that one. But I'd like to see, because I don't have, I have a track with my company, but I don't know what the tracking is like with the conversion of property management, customers under management opposed to the listing sold. So I'd love to see what that retention rate is like with other companies. Because I don't think that that's a number that many property management companies track. But if they track that, like they track their other numbers, then they'll be able to look at it. I look at all my numbers like broken down. So I can say, okay, my listing appointment and listing taken conversion was 72%. Okay, so what is it that I need to work on to increase that? And then also talking about those five factors of real estate and property management is, when one number is lower, then the other number's higher. So for example, if you're a five at lead generation, then likely your lead follow-up is lower because you're getting all these leads and then it's taking less. If the other numbers are higher, then your service and delivery might be lower. So it's important to look at those and then know your numbers.
So we do track that churn is what you're talking about. That's where the owners come around full circle that we've managed their home for X years and now they want to sell. And so there's good churn, there's neutral churn, and then there's bad churn. Bad churn is when they go to Sally, the cousin realtor. Okay. Can't really help that. That's called bad churn, or we fire them or something like that. Neutral churn again is where they go back to a referral source. You know, maybe you got a referral from an agent. So where I'm getting to is the good churn is when we sell a home. And I think we're roughly around 50% of that churn. Is where we sell the homes because we don't get all the opportunities, okay? Because sometimes they just come to you and say, I hired an agent and I'm using this agent. And you're like, whoa, I didn't even get a chance to talk to you. And sure, we could look back and say, did we communicate with them enough? We think we always have room for improvement on that side, and a lot of folks do out there. So enough about that. Let's do one thing. Let's switch gears completely. Let's talk brokerage as a business, okay?
Can you hold on with that thought 1 second? I want to run a number. How many units you guys have?
We're about 900.
Okay. So 900, 50% of that's 450, right?
Well, we're not get that many a year. Let's say we get, 100 churn every year. So we're end up getting around 40 to 50 sales per year. And those are silver platter listing sales. They're just right there in front of you. You don't have to, you market them, you do everything right, but you don't have to actively go out and prospect. You know, standing on the corner spinning one of those signs for 6 hours a day.
Yeah, you can easily add 100K to your bottom line. You can easily add 100K to your bottom line just by increasing the 100, right? Instead of increasing it from 40 or 50 to 60 or 70. And then that's going to mean that's 20 extra units. And you can do all of that just by the communication. And I'm not like saying you, I'm just using those numbers as an example.
good analysis, and that's spot on.
Yeah, it's all about looking at those numbers, man. Like, I was running numbers for agents the other day. I did a minute video or something that I put on Facebook, and I was just inspired and near the whiteboard. And I just ran down the numbers of, look, if you make 150 contacts, right, and you know that out of every 75 contacts, you get a listing appointment. And then so let's say that's 50% then, right? So you get two appointments a week if you make 150 contacts. And let's say 50% is your conversion ratio from listing appointment to listing sold. And the average is, say, $6,000 for your commission. If you take the 6,000 and divide it by 150, then it comes down to $40 per contact. So basically, it shows agents, look, it's all in the numbers. Every phone call you don't make, you just gave away $40. So just get on the phone, you know?
Great point. And here's another to break that down. So let's say you get an average commission of $5,000 per sale, just for fun, $5,000 easy.
Yeah.
You do one more sale every month from this effort. That's $60,000 a year. So if your average commission is $10,000 per transaction, that's 120. So you probably are sitting somewhere in what you just said is accurate as you know what. You could add another six figures, 100K to your bottom line just by applying some of these sales techniques. So if I may, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's do the brokerage side, because a lot of the company owners out there, the property management folks that listen, you know, we all potentially may have agents or work with a company that works with agents, because now you have splits, commission splits involved, and then you have referral fees involved. Okay, so for us, it would be a commission split. And so for our agents, if they sell one of the homes from our portfolio, hope you're sitting down for this, it's a 30-70 split. 30 for that agent, 70 to the house, because we found that lead, we mailed that lead under property management, we put the systems in place for that property manager to manage that home for however long, and then we provided them everything they need sales-wise as far as signs, lockbox, MLS, everything to sell that home. It's a 30-70. If they produce the business, it's an 80-20. So they go out and run around and they, you know, hustle on the weekends and they go out and do something, it's an 80-20. Now, this is not the end-all, be-all right way. There's 1,000 ways to skin this cat, but people want to know what the actual numbers are. And I can give those splits away and not do anything wrong, because they're all over our website anyway. So that's something there that people want to understand. All right, so the non-brokerage folks.
Let me ask you a question on that. Okay, so let's say an agent is doing, one of those agents is doing 20 transactions total between theirs and yours. Okay, how many of those would be from the PM, and how many would be theirs generated?
90% would be from the PM. 1%, 10% would be generated by themselves, because as you know, property managers are normally protectors. They're not hunters and killers going out getting large real estate deals on a broad base. They'll sell referrals, they'll sell their neighbors, they'll sell their family, etc. But at the end of the day, you know, I've been working with them for 4, 5, 6 years on these folks, and they just don't sell a lot of homes because that's not in their nature. Yeah. More of the guardians of that portfolio, and they do very good at it. The ones we have, I'm very proud of and like our crew. It's just a different mindset. So we in our business, we refer everything to Leah, my wife, and she's a licensed realtor. She's been licensed for 3+ years now, and she does a great job in nurturing, and she's just enough outside of the business, because here's what I want to switch this to, Jay.
Yeah.
Just enough outside of the business where people aren't mad at her. Just like what you said, hey, you know, I called the property manager and they didn't call back. Oh, I'm so sorry. I mean, she's outside of that business enough to where people understand that, you know, they can't pick on her. Her last name is, you know, Larson. So they understand she's part of the co-owner of the business. So that helps. But the folks that don't have that, they got to refer this out to a local neighboring real estate company. And a lot of times that's going to be a 50-50. I question if that's fair or not. I mean, you hand them the business on a silver platter, maybe they should be giving you a larger referral. Maybe it should be a 60-40. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to skin this cat, and there's no right answer. So I don't want to project like I know it all. I don't, because talking to somebody in Virginia, you know, Tino Peabody is a good friend of mine out in Virginia, and he's got a relationship with a sales agency, and they do 50-50. So anything he hands them is a 50-50 straight up split.
Yeah. And that makes sense. And you know what? Again, it's not about the dollars. And there is one right answer. And the one right answer is it's different for everybody. because it depends on the quality of that agent you're referring to. If that agent closes, if that agent closes only 60% of those listings and they're not servicing them well and they're not doing a good job, well, it doesn't matter how much you pay them because it's a lose-lose. But I mean, in that situation that you're telling me, 50-50 seems reasonable if they're doing a good job and closing them. That's fair for everybody.
One of the challenges we have is we always need really good investor agents. So if we can talk about that, because listing agents, my wife has that. It's silver platter. Here you go. You list the home, you sell it. Everybody knows that's where the high dollar is for real estate sales is in listing agents. What do they say? $1,000 an hour, $2,000 an hour, you know, all the NAR stats. Buyer's agency is tougher. That's where you're looking at, you know, end of the line, they've said $200-$300 an hour for the buyer's agents that actually make sales because of all the time involved, showings, et cetera, et cetera. We've always had a challenge keeping and finding good investor agents, somebody who understands cash flow analysis enough to be able to go out and explain a cap rate, explain a vacancy rate, explain things to investors. What is your thought process on that as far as helping people develop good investor buyers agents to go out, take those investors that come into us and say, hey, can you help me buy 10 homes? I got a 1031 exchange. I need somebody that I can work with right now. Everyone kind of has a solution to that in their own way, but maybe you have a couple tidbits there that you could join in on just to kind of improve that conversation.
Yeah. So let me ask you, you can probably help me with this. What's one of the main reasons why it's difficult to keep an agent like that? Because I don't know.
Because you may not have the steady eddy feeding to where you can give them lead after lead after lead. So it's been a challenge. I mean, we're not pushing, 40 hours a week to find somebody, but we just need, and this is a lot of folks that have the same challenge. They have the same challenge keeping good agents that'd be willing to call the tenants. Let's say that's another thing I want to transition to is getting sales from your tenants. We can talk about that. But who's also willing to contact the owners in just kind of a dry cold call scenario to where they may never sell for 10 years or they may sell in 10 minutes. And so when you're making that phone call as a buyer's agent / listing agent inside of a property management company, it's dial for dollars. I mean, they just got to make phone call after phone call after phone call to try and get those leads. The motivation there, as you know, with a lot of agents, it is the 90-10 rule. 10% of the people in the agency are doing 90% of the business, right? It's trying to find one of those producers that can actually get stuff done has been a challenge for us. And I'm sure everybody out there is the same situation.
Yeah. So I'll let me do that part first, and then let me go up to the part about it difficult keeping that person for the investors. So I wouldn't have a salesperson calling the tenants and the owners because I would prefer my salespeople doing sales, right? Sales that are going to be high converting, because if I have a strong salesperson, and you know, it depends on all the situations, right? Like how much, what's their split? How good are they? Because if they're just a warm body, well, yeah, get them on the phone then if they're going to get on the phone. But if they're not doing a good job, then who cares? I'd rather pay somebody. We have our VA calling the tenants. Our VA is good. He knows the scripts. You know, he knows what to say. He calls the tenants. He knows what to ask. And he'll ask those questions. And if it hits a certain point or on the barometer to where it's like, you know what, this might be a good one, right? Then it goes to the salesperson with the notes involved. You know what I'm saying?
I like that technique a lot. A lot of people could put a VA in place to make some of those calls.
Yeah.
We have 10 full-time team members in Mexico. And that could be a very good idea for some of my inside salespeople is to get them on the job of getting going to call some of the current owners and say, hey, you ever thought about selling? Let's do something for you. Let's do a CMA. Let you talk to, you know, one of our sales agents or something. That's a good technique, man. I like it.
For me, the owners are different because I'm careful and protective about the owners because I'm going to make more money with the owners per hour, like you said. So, you know, if you're making $1,000 an hour opposed to $200 an hour, you know, it's a high dollar and they're more important because they're the ones that are paying my bills for years, years and years. So I have my property managers calling them. And the property managers are calling them they each have the people that they're supposed to call, and then they have it on a quarterly basis that they're making those calls. And if you have it systemized to where you're time blocked and it's that 10 to 11 is when you make those calls on a daily basis, and you don't do anything else from 10 to 11, then those calls, and then that person's incentivized for that as well. So I prefer not having a VA call them, but I'm okay with a VA calling my tenants. That's been working fine.
That's excellent. I like that technique. Let's switch again, if I may.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's talk about something that we've implemented called pocket listings. Investor pocket listings. And you'd get it once I start talking about it. It might just be called something different for where you are. So essentially, we have an owner who comes to us after management for however long and says, I need to sell. I need to sell. I want to sell. I, you know, whatever. But I have a tenant in place. And or the home's going to be vacant sometime in the near future. So what we end up doing is if there's a tenant in place, we can go to that particular seller and say, look, there's not going to be any vacancy. There's no make ready. You have an existing tenant in place with 6 months left on the lease agreement. Let's put you into a pocket listing scenario. So what we're going to do is we, the listing agent company, will reduce our commission. You, the seller, will reduce your asking price. And combined, you have a very good touch point of maybe 10, 20, 30,000 that you could reduce from market value. So if market value were, for example, 200K on that particular home, and you could get them talked down to 180 or 185, and then you go to your pocket listing investors. Now, you have to develop both sides of this, okay? You have to tell your owners you do this, and then you got to tell your investors out there that you do this. We typically get one-page agreement signed on both. And so the pocket listing investors, the buyers that come in, they sign a one-page kind of like a, we agree to use RentWorks as our property manager. And so when they agree to that, then we present them those pocket listings. And at that point, they can look at the numbers and make an offer or pass completely. You know, the four that we've done in the last few months, they've all sold in within days, right? Because people love getting off-market deals. The numbers make sense. We know they make sense because that's why we pocketed like that. And we put it out to investors. Now, some people are probably screaming and throwing stuff at their speakers and saying, why don't you just buy it, dummy? Okay, you got a point. Why don't we just buy it? Yes, we're getting to that point in our business. And I don't think everybody out there can say that. Maybe 20% can say they can buy a home anytime when it comes up on the inventory. We're not necessarily there yet. We want to be there, but you know, we're getting there. So that's our pocket listing technique. And you guys may call it something different. Any comments on that?
Yeah, we don't do it. Pocket listing would be a word for that down here, but we don't do it that way. We approach it a different way, but it sounds like that's working really well for you. For us, not only because our market is definitely softening big time in Florida.
If I may, Jay, let me interrupt you one more time. I got to close that loop.
Yeah.
The only reason we do that is to keep the home in our inventory. You understand? That's the biggest motivation factor for us is we put the home on the market, pocket listing, secret squirrel, does not go in the MLS. We only send it out to maybe 40, 50, 60 of our pocket listing investors right now. When they buy the home, we still manage it.
Right? Oh, I see that. Yeah.
We keep the home under management. So it never leaves us. It just switches hands.
Yeah.
And that's been a really good technique to, again, reduce that churn we talked about of people leaving you. And these are folks that, you know, a lot of times we get military reluctant landlords and they move to someplace like Virginia and they got to free up their VA loan. And so now they got to sell their San Antonio home like today. They want to sell it because they want to buy another home. Makes sense. So we've done that pocket listing several times before and it works because everybody wins. We make it a win-win. We reduce commissions. The seller reduces asking price. Buyers get a secret squirrel off-market deal and keep it in our inventory. So that's what we do. And of course, that's, you know, it's a short way to explain it. There's a lot more that goes into it.
Yeah. No, I'm sure that's great for you and great for a lot of people. It might even be great for me. The way that we do it, we just do it different on the sales side to where if they do want to sell, selling it quickly, that's a good way to sell it quickly too, just like in that example you said. What we've done is we have in our lease agreement, which you guys might have too. I think maybe most property managers do. I actually haven't checked this. But if the property is transferred, right, if it's sold, then the tenant has X amount of days to move out of the property because the lease is terminated. So there's a termination of lease upon sale clause in the contract. So we're able to still show the property, sell the property. And then if we try, you know, we tell the tenant the way we sell it to them is like, look, you know, of course, we want to try to keep you in there, you know, and if somebody else does buy it and wants to move in, then, you know, okay, well, we got to talk about that.
That's a good point. So the PM owners out there, they should be listening to this. Figure out a way to make your lease agreements assignable. That's the term. So you have a termination clause that's built into a sale. Well, here we have an assignable lease. So, I mean, there's no real action for the tenant to bail on that particular lease agreement. Sure, the ownership changes hands, but the management system stays the same. Homes under management, they're still paying the same rent. We still have the same maintenance. So figure out a way out there to figure out your lease agreement to make sure it's assignable. So if a pocket listing buyer comes along and buys that home, they keep it under management, it should just assign right over. And that's state specific. I can't tell everybody that this is how you have to do it. You know, really
it'd be great. It'd be great in a state if you can have both. You know, if it sells, you know, the owner has the option to do either or.
Can we talk brokerage for a little bit? Let's go back to that because we want to touch on the franchise, the independence, the opportunities for brokerages out there for sales. So what do you guys do there in Florida?
What I've done is, so the whole reason I got into property management was 14 years ago, I was started selling new construction because it was an easy way to make money. You know, we put ads in the newspapers in Detroit Free Press, Cleveland Plain Dealer, like the Philly Inquirer, all of those things. And there were short ads, small ads, and we would get these calls and we would put owners, right, investors, which were really speculators, right? They were looking to flip wanted to buy new construction and then turn around and assign the contracts and everything like that. Well, the point came to where everybody got their hand caught in the cookie jar. Nobody could do anything. And I was the first one to you know, it, you know how it is, man. You always got to be the first one or pretty damn close to being the first one. And then you have a leg up on people. But I was the first one to say, hey, you know what? Would you want to rent out your property? And then I built a property management company out of that and then built the sales company. And then eventually I opened a separate brokerage for both of them. So they're both different separate brokerages and I'm the broker and owner of both of them.
That's a great technique to talk about. So let's really go there because good example. Do you want to keep the same name? Do you want the sales side to be under something different so people have the perception that that's a sales entity? And then do you want the management side to have the same perception as well? So for example, you know, we have RentWorks, the property management side. Then we also have a DBA doing business as to run SaleWorks, SaleWerx, just like RentWorks. We can run SaleWorks and that can be our sales division. So is that kind of something that you're doing on that side, similar type of technique?
Different branding, yes, absolutely. So one of them we're branded as the Real SWFL. I actually hang in Florida, it's made in such a way to where you can have a brokerage can have 100% commission office. So they can offer their agents 100% commission and make their money on fees because they can have 500, 600, 700 agents because there's the market for that. So I actually hang my sales broker license with my friend's brokerage who has 600 agents under his brokerage. So I have my my team, which is the Real SWFL team because Southwest Florida, and then my property management company, which right now is Encompass Property Management, but we're in the process of doing a rebrand. So yes, those are complete separate entities, completely separately branded and different employees, everything. Now, they can work together in certain ways, but here's the deal. If I want to, I want to be able to sell one of those companies if I want to. They have their own complete sets of books. Everything else is completely, completely separate, but they do work together.
Just like that's very common for what you're seeing out there. And what's also very common is to have the agents underneath the exact same branding and brokerage of the property management firm. So I don't know if there's a right answer to that. It's good we have two different techniques kind of doing the same thing. Our RentWorks, SaleWorks branding is really so close to each other that they look identical. Same logos, same type of thing. It's not totally separate to where you'd look at it and say, wow, that's a total different entity. I don't even know if they even coexist. So it's an interesting concept. And to kind of shore this up real quick, I want you to talk about your training options. Like, what do you have cooking there to where you can assist folks?
Yeah. Talking about agents and property managers?
Yes.
Yeah. So I have different approaches because the way that I approach things is just like what you said with I don't know what the right answer is. And we said that a lot. Okay. well, we don't know what the right answer is. And you never do, because it's all about asking questions. And it's not about just asking questions to our clients and getting to the bottom of it, but it's with property managers, real estate. You don't know what their business is like. You don't know what they need. You don't know what their market's like. You don't know what their personality type is. You don't know what their strengths are. And that's why the stuff that these big, say, real estate coaching companies, or just any type of service or mentor or product out there, teaches really just to one thing. It's just a blanket. But I have a process to where I put real estate agents and property managers through to identify their strengths, okay, to build a system around them, an organized system that that will help them be planned, will help them be organized, their time, they'll reduce their time. Seriously, after working with me for a week, agents reduce their time by 25%, the time spent, the time they spend. And it's all about putting some simple things into place at the beginning. But just like me in the past, you can't build a skyscraper without having a solid foundation, okay? But that's what we try to do. And then that only leads us to one place, and we know what that is. It sucks, you know? So I take a process to where I work with somebody's strengths. I help identify them. I put them through a process. I show them how the business is should be run with the five different factors of real estate. And then I help them with their sales process, because sales, to me, is the lifeblood of the business, because the sales is not just in the lead gen, okay? A lot of that's marketing. And then you got the sales part that will show you how to do the lead follow-up, because you have to do aggressive lead follow-up, okay? You have to have the systems in place. And then with the conversion, that's all sales. And then the delivery and the service, by implementing sales in there, from our conversation, we saw that there was multiple ways to add 60 or 100 grand or more just by having good sales techniques within the system. And then also, of course, your past client and repeat and referral business. So
talk about the sales training you offer. Go there. I want you to kind of talk to us about what you do, how you do it, kind of where people can find you. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So I have, right now I have a program, which is a 90-day program. It's website's 90dayroadmap.com. And that probably won't be live for another couple weeks until our next launch. But where people can find me right now would be easily to just download my business planning, my free resource for business planning. And that's plan.jberrabee.com. So no www or anything like that, just plan.jberrabee.com. That will give you a free resource to get your planning in place and get you in a solid momentum. And then you'll hear about and you'll get information about the 90-day course, which takes people from, just a brief overview, mindset, business planning, time management, lead generation, systems in place, right? Just totally structuring. And then it also gets into some of the real estate sales stuff, like with different types of lead generation and sourcing your business and putting the systems in place to have a recession-proof business, whether it's property management or whether it's sales. It's all about nurturing that client in every single aspect of the five key factors in real estate. That's it. Yeah.
So if people can find you there, they can sign up for some of your training systems. Understand you're going to offer a discount, BRAD discount, everybody gets.
Yep, you jumped at it. I was going to give you that info. I know. You're always trying to get people a good deal. I like that, man. Looking out for people. But yeah, we got a BRAD code. So we'll have a link for you, and Brad will get that to you. You guys click on the link, and that'll give you guys a discount of 10% on the product, which is actually ridiculously inexpensive for everything that's offered in the product. It's about $10,000 worth of information and online videos. And I give you all of my scripts, all of my objection handlers. I give you every single thing. And also I have a for rent by owner and absentee owner resource that I think I might've put on the files in your Facebook page. If I haven't, I will. But that is a good lead-in for people to kind of get a sneak peek of what this is all about. Over $10,000 in resources, and the price is $997, but your folks will get that for 10% off. And I can almost guarantee you, if you work it, you will add a minimum of one closed sale deal in every single month. So if that means $6,000 to you, that's $72K. And $72K with a $900 investment for you is about a 7,200% ROI, I think.
Fantastic. Jay, this has been great. Really like talking sales. As you can tell, I get pretty fired up about it. You know, it's fun to kind of talk about numbers that way and how to close more deals. You've been impressive. And I really am glad you're here in this space, because there's just not enough sales trainers that understand management and how it works in conjunction with each other. So loved this episode a lot. Any parting words for the crew?
I guess the only thing that I would say is everybody has different goals. Okay. So what I would recommend to anybody, if they're frustrated or stuck in any part of where they're at in their business, which we all are, is to just identify what you want, why you want it, where you're at, and then have a plan that you believe in how to get there. And that's what I try to provide to the people that I work with. So yeah, that's about it.
Great, Jay. Thanks again for coming on. Take care.
You got it, buddy. See ya.
This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you are in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you will definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org. Again, propertymanagementsystem.org. And to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D.
This has been a podcast episode by propertymanagementproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.